Blog Talk Radio.
There were some marvelous times that I had.
people through this time. And I met so many women and so many, made friends with so many people in different areas. New walks of life and so on. That I gained a rather unusual perspective. I wrote a number of poems, you know, that were centered around these this time, yeah, period. It was a tremendously poetic time for me, and when I became I've talked about this in my other shows, but I think it's important. It is important to clarify a few things about that time frame or that time period, and how everything I was writing down, everything that was coming to me at that time was. It's good to look back, you know, to see how far you've come, you know. And in my case, there was a tragedy in the sense that I lost years of work in a strange fire. because of that, I was then able to collect so much of my own work, of my past work. It was really amazing to have 20 years or so of work just destroyed, you know, books and articles and property, you know. But when you go through that loss, you get to a point where you have to start again, you know, or just crumble. And I feel such empathy for people that have lost recently in the storm. Storm Sandy and, of course, this nor'easter that we're still involved with here. The devastation to life that is caused by losing everything you own physically is just unbelievable. You know, you can't fathom it, and you have to give it up because it's not there anymore. You know, and it's almost like giving up a whole part of your life. You have to focus on something new, and you don't have that history to back you up anymore. You don't have those resources to back you up anymore. You only have your mind, your memory, and you know you can only without pictures or without proof, you know, other than you know whatever you can get as proof. It's all becomes fantasy, like it never happened. And you know, I guess what I find hardest to accept in my life is the fact that there's such a wealth of information, such a wealth of memory, such a wealth of that I can't prove to anybody, you know. there have been years of gaps that, you know, not a loss, but years that I spent away from family and friends, made a new life, because I had to. I was compelled to do that after that great loss, and I did, but what held me together, what the glue, if you will, that held me together and kept me moving toward a great goal was the glue of my poetry, my writing, my artwork, my, you know, music, my filmmaking, my, you know, these things. All these things that were tying me down suddenly allowed me to explode into a volcano of creative magma. and I haven't really. I've learned, though I regretted the loss of all these things. And so many material things, I still regret the loss because there are so many heirlooms and so many priceless memories and pictures and letters and things like that of people that no longer exist, people that are dead. My father and my grandfather, those kind of people, you know. All that's gone so that there's nothing there but a memory, right? And no way to validate those memories with anyone else other than your own soul, you know? And anyway, it brought me around to a different way of looking at things. And a sudden realization that the world, that everything is now, you know, abandonment, which is something I had studied for years, and I first encountered that concept under studying Ralph Waldo Emerson many, many years ago, 35 years ago, you know, when I first understood it in one of his essays, and I was researching that era, or not era, that concept of self-abandonment, getting into self-hypnosis, or getting into past life regressions, getting into my spirituality, understanding it better, not being afraid of it, welcoming the influences, if you will, that are around me, the spiritual entities that are around us, the clairvoyance that's within all of us. But in myself, I've had some remarkable experiences, and I think in communicating with otherworldly entities, and I've known others, people who have as well, and we've shared our stories, but I want to share the story with you. I don't know why I just, maybe because it's there, I feel I have to read it, but I found this today, actually, and read it, and it sums up a lot of what has taken place and is still taking place in my life. I wrote this many years ago, but it's so relevant today in some ways. I'll start it. It's an untitled poem. It says, "In the hours of unknown reason, I spoke to a muse, an unusual woman with hope in her voice. The world of reason is never right when the world of emotion reigns, and the strangeness of creation brings odd couples to meet. Well between the sheets of lust and under the bed of marriage lies the rogue of me, and the essence of passionate beings. Love is a floating thing, or a fleeting thing, not real and yet elusive. Lust and longing for one in need are the lasting bonds of memory. See the naked body beautiful and the youthful in youth and age, an aging grace, the sonnet sung to you in the coital witness stage. I feel your body without sight. I see you in lust and love. I know you not from yesterday, but understand you fully now. It is not the time, nor the year, nor the month, nor the minute for us. But it was the sensual, subtle love and need, the moment of sparks in the ocean of passion. You are with me. I am you. Are you with me? Are you seductive? Are you free? Are you ready? Then let us live in love this night and float on passion's wings, for I see your need of me. Believe in your beauty. Can hold you in closeness. See me my heart, my body, my words, the total self, it all will emerge in you. I wanted to present this next short untitled poem as a follow-up to that, which is really directly after, I believe. In a dawn of rest, I am alone and happy. Not alone, but free. Remote past forgotten, the present is real in the hours of joy. The sun will rise soon as the name and face of me and I forever. A poem is without prisons, as I am without self. Up in the mornings and have poems reeling through my head. And I just have to write them down. You know, the minute I wake up, it'd be running through my head, and I'd say, where's the verse coming from? But the verses are great. Some of them were, and some of them I don't remember, But during this 5-year period that I was dealing with between 1996 to 97 into 2000. That period of time was such a transitional period for me that it became exploded. I just exploded with things and thoughts and freedom was so great. Not being bogged down by marriages or by houses, businesses, all of the drudgeries of life, that weigh you down. My losses were expensive, extremely expensive, but my soul. I found my soul. And I never realized that I had lost it, but I realized I wasn't the same guy. I wasn't the same person at all, any way, shape, or form, as the guy I knew, because I really didn't want to be that guy anymore. I didn't like that guy. He was, headed for a heart attack at 40. You know what I mean? It was not a good life. And 20 years later, 15 or so years later now. I can't think. Yeah, I'm totally new, different than I was. I have a wonderful relationship. I have a, you know, everything that I want. Although but what I want is not what I wanted before, if anybody can understand what I'm saying. What I want today is simply to be able to continue to create my work, to be able to continue to create, to be able to continue to be healthy enough and maintain enough income and enough sanity, all right, to continue on this course and build up this program and build up my website and build up my, or write my books, write and continue to write, do my artwork, do my films, do my picture, my photo, my photography. These are all things that I do that I am compelled to do. I don't know why. But they've given me great, great peace and great, great solitude. Not solitude, but great satisfaction. And wonderful friendships and fascinating places that I've gone and fascinating people I've met. Because of this quest that I began back in 96, I believe, or 97. It all changed. And as the millennium changed, I became catapulted, just simply catapulted into a different life completely. So what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that don't be afraid of the sudden changes. That's fate. And fate can be a wicked thing because it just crashes down on you and makes you change. Makes you change your life. Makes you change the ways that you are. And those are things that you expect to, how can I say, they're what makes you live, continue living, even though you may be in hell, you know? Yeah. Even though you may be in hell. Another poem I wrote, and this is the same time, basically. But at that time, I was doing a lot of experimenting. I was doing a lot of meeting a lot of women. I was doing a lot of dating at the time. My life was changing, so that I was struggling to understand the world of women, how difficult it was for me to, as a man, to understand the subtleties of women, the cues that I tend to miss, so many things. But I wrote this poem back about that period of time, and it's called In the World of Women. It says, in feminine silence, much is heard. Sorrow, joy, trust, lust, all sounds as quiet and still beneath the smile. A restful sleep. A child or woman or teenage girl expressed the same in moods. To a man, these sounds are strange, and yet to a man are women bonded. In the deep nights and in the bright days, their sighs and smiles and kisses. Stay. They, their thoughts are many. Their emotions govern their desires. Their emotions govern and their desires are known only to them. I reach to understand, to sense their kind affections and allow myself to enter them. By this a man may lose or gain, but never without a trial or patience, love, and understanding. Regret in love is so common, as is joy and peace. Regrets, losses, and maladies, and the ruin of memories plague the man who leaves. So in this quandary, I stood as a man in the odd world of women. I see their love, I feel their fear, and I began to know them.
There was a period of time when my mind was absorbed with met so many wonderful women, really, really nice women, friendly, beautiful, smart, just amazing, really. And some we hit it off, and some we didn't, and these are things that, you know, you go through and, you know, everybody regrets. Everybody leaves one another and wonders why, what happened there, or, wow, that was fun, or, you know, whatever it was. And you get back together again, or you don't. You know, relationships don't form, or they do. And these are things that much of what I went through during that period of time. I was looking for the right feeling, you know, looking for the right person, looking for that right thing. But I realized when I couldn't find it until I understood myself, what it was that I wanted, what it was that I needed in a relationship, you know, and what it was that would sustain a relationship for long periods of time, you know, trust and faith and, you know, responsibility and all these things. But at the same time, love, you know, love, respect, honesty, integrity, all these very ethereal, metaphysical aspects of a relationship. And as I started to delve into that mystical concept, everything started to make sense to me. Everything started to click. The understanding of a how can I say a and once you understand that there is no coincidences, I guess, then you realize that your life is destined in a way that you can't imagine, because everyone who comes into your life was meant to come into your life for that, for some reason. They could have been here for in a past life. They could have been any form of relation to you, and in the past lives, or it could be totally new to you now. But the whatever it is that power that attracts you to others or others to you is something far more than animal magnetism. You know, there's something more there. You know, usually, of course, in you know, casual sexual, whatever, animal magnetism has a lot to do with it. But you know, you're, but it also has there's an intellectual piece to it. I mean, unless you're, you know, you're dealing with escorts or something to that effect, but you know, on a purely personal, emotional level, when you're dealing with another human being, or especially the opposite sex, there are elements of trust and humor and sexual attraction and intellectual attraction that must come around, and all of that seems to apply in a perfectly in a metaphysical realm, not as greatly in the physical realm, because you know there's so many obstacles that you face in the physical realm. My God, time and distance and communications and so on. Whereas in a spiritual realm, all is there for you already. I mean, it manifests within, you know, as soon as you think of it, something, the thought will manifest, the image will be created, the, you know, whatever it is you want. And once you do that and you can play out a scenario in that fourth dimensional state, then what happens is it becomes transformed into that physical realm. You can transport that attitude, you can transport that consciousness into your into your third dimensional existence. In a fourth dimensional state, or I should say in a higher state, a higher level, verbal communication is virtually non-existent. It's telepathic, you know. We speak words, if you will, but it's poetic, you know. It's marvelous. It's an airy quality. It's a perfect harmonic existence, you know, if you will. To each emotion and to each thought that you have, there's an additional harmony to it, harmonic. And what happens is that when you reach somebody else who is in that same mode of harmony, in that ethereal level, as we all float in that ethereal level, even in our sleep, but in our waking daydreams and so on, these are all the ethereal level. We are all constantly crossing back and forth and back and forth from the third to the fourth dimensions, third to fourth dimensions. And where we find ourselves in drudgery and harm and suffering and whatever, it's in that fourth, that third dimensional state. And in order to rise above those conflicts that we have within ourselves and so on, we must escape to the fourth dimensional levels in order to be able to visualize a way out, or visualize our lives better, visualize whatever it is. And in my case, so many inspirations came in forms of poetry or in forms of art. I was doing three or four art projects a day, drawings and paintings and sketches and photographs and so on. And I found I was enthralled by the minute camera on film, that of what I felt, that of what I wanted to project, and what I was projecting in that. So anyway, this is what I wanted to say. Within that state of mind, we can create anything, you know, anything. And from that state of mind, that imaginative state is fourth-dimensional reality, right? What we do is we bring that to a third-dimensional, into our third-dimensional existence, right? We're only here for a short time, but we will be in that fourth dimension for a long, lot longer. We'll be spirits for many, many, many millennia, you know, until we are no more, if that would ever happen. But for us to be here now is to take on these sights and these sounds that we see around us and transform them into a metaphysical or a mystical revelation. They're all here telling us something. Feeling, making us feel something. It's just that we don't understand fully what it is, or we go through our lives without even noticing it. You know, just taking for granted that these people or these things or these moments or where these intuitive flashes or whatever are just, you know, part of life. But they are definitely part of life. But they're also part of the evolution of life. At a transitional mindset that we must gain in order to ascend to the higher levels of consciousness that are so needed today. And people are so desperately searching for. Well, I'm not saying that I found it or that my life is perfect in any way. All I'm saying is that I understand it. You know, that is where the fourth dimension lies. That is where all of your desires are met. That is where all your needs are met. Where all of your life is created in that dimension and then brought back here into your flesh and blood and third dimensional reality. And it was through these marvelous experiences that I had that I was able to find myself, and so often being able to leave my body, leave my mind, leave the state of mind I was in, and just soar to different heights within the harmonics, if you will, of my existence, and that became a way of life for me, because it was like opening the door, but it was more so than opening a door. It was like hitting a pinata, you know, and a million candies fall out of it, jumping out of a plane or jumping out of a, you know, I don't know. Doing things that are, you realize the unimaginable becomes imaginable, you know. The oddest, the quirkiest, the most profound or the most insane thing you've thought about, you suddenly put it into some form of perspective, and you decide if it's something you would like to bring back with you to this dimension, to something to create or recreate here, you just do. I do it all the time. I'll get some idea, or I'll dream something at night, and I'll write it down or draw it out, or, you know, do whatever it is I do. And that's the creative spirit. But for those of you who may not know how to grab onto that spirit, in the last few minutes I have, maybe I would like to explain how to tap into that, how to tap into it. And once you've done that, you'll always know how to go there. You'll never be trapped again in this behind the veil of third dimensional existence. You'll always know that this too will pass. This phase of our existence will fade. Whether you have a disease or you're struck by a car or life ends. It ends, and there's no way to predict how long it's going to be or how short it's going to be for anyone. And when your time is up, I believe your time is up, and you move on to another time and place. But at the same time, you've achieved one level higher in understanding of the universe, of the cosmos, of the mind of God, if you will. And for that is the payback. That is the paycheck, if you will, for having gone through so much life and gone through, struggled through, created through, and hopefully made a better world and a better life for you and others while you were here. And then once that mission has been accomplished, then it becomes you are that much of a greater soul, more appreciated amongst others, more appreciated in heaven, if you will, which is that fourth dimensional reality we speak of. And then again, there's the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth and the ninth. There are actually, I believe, 140 different dimensions, as well as a number of different harmonics, harmonic overtones. And with that, we can rise infinitely in consciousness. And knowledge, and until we meet with the creator of all knowledge, and that's what we look forward to. That's what I found to be the most thrilling part of all my experimentations and all my relationships, was that somehow it led me to a deeper and more stronger, a much deeper and much stronger relationship. I'm sorry, I kind of lost my thought there. I just got a call. Today is I want to finish tonight's program by just saying that I'm hoping that next week I will have the full. The full program for you of Aranjus, the full of the last two acts, and more on this theme, because I believe we're now at the beginning of my friend George Dixon called the age of woman, the age of the feminine is coming upon us. We're seeing marvelous signs, miraculous signs of things happening around the world with women leaders and freedoms and strengths of by that. And I think it's important to understand, well, as much as we can, at least I want to try to tutor the male mind, but possibly female mind as well, to the power that exists there and the power that's coming and the changes that are happening to all of us. And if I can put give an explanation to that that makes sense to anyone, then I've achieved a great thing. You know, I've achieved some great moment of education here, and I'm hoping that I can do that. So, but I'm going to leave you early tonight, and I want to thank everyone who joined me, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Got a little off the cuff here, but I did want to read a few of these poems that seem that are relevant to this series on women and on femininity and on the spirit of femininity, and go from there. So good night, everybody, and hope you have a pleasant weekend, and we'll see you again next week.